You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Friday, April 26th, 2024. I am Dave Biddle. I'll be joined by Jonah Booker in just a moment. A lot to get into. Jonah's down there building the Arizona Buckeyes in his backyard with Marvin Harrison Jr. going to the Cardinals. Obviously, Paris Johnson Jr., their first-round pick last year. Loyal listener to the show, Monica Daniels, who just so happens to be Paris's mom. She's very happy. I know that, and we're happy about that. But the crux of the show is going to be Jonah and I talking about the Chip Kelly effect. Really want to get Jonah's deep thoughts on the Chip Kelly effect. What can we expect from that? What can you guys expect from the Chip Kelly effect? And we'll get to some more stuff as well. Look ahead to the guys that are going to be drafted tonight. Hopefully guys plural. Definitely Mike Hall tonight. Hopefully Cade. We'll see. Maybe it'll just be Mike Hall tonight. Before we get to that, I want to let you guys know about Omaha Steaks and this awesome burger, gourmet burger pack they have for you guys and a great deal you can get. Nothing says summer like the taste of a juicy, tender burger grilled to perfection, and nobody does burger perfection quite like Omaha Steaks. Right now, you can taste burger perfection for yourself with the Burger Perfection Flight. This exclusive package includes 20 of their mouth-watering steak burgers. Check this out. For each of their pure ground filet mignon burgers, New York strip burgers, ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, and sirloin burgers, Omaha Steaks pure ground burgers deliver an explosive combination of tenderness, juiciness, and unmatched quality. And right now you can experience the Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com. Get ready for grilling season with the Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99 when you shop omahasteaks.com. That's 20 mouthwatering pure ground burgers for just $79.99 when you shop omahasteaks.com. I love all their stuff. I love their steaks. These burgers are unbelievable. I mean, New York strip burgers, filet mignon burgers, sirloin burgers, just fantastic stuff. So hope you guys can check that out. $4 each for those burgers. All right, let's bring in my man, Jonah Booker. Good to see you on a Friday as always, sir. Let's get into the Chip Kelly effect. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. I know I'm excited about it, but I want you to break it down a little bit. What can fans expect from the Chip Kelly effect on this offense, JB?
Yeah, I thought it was fascinating. Chip went to the coaching convention, Dave, and pretty much put on a master class on how his rushing attack is going to be able to operate. And just talking about one of the things that Ohio State fans really hated about the Ryan Day rushing attack was a stretch run to the boundary. It almost seemed like they had one stretch run. That's all they were capable of doing. Linemen weren't able to get up to the second levels. They weren't able to come off combo blocks. Well, when you listen to Chip in that coaching convention, he brings a whole different element to the rushing attack, Dave, where he talks about, hey, I have 20 different variables on how to run the stretch, how to block it. You know, so he's bringing a high-octane rushing attack that is going to greatly enhance this attack that has been struggling over the last several years. So I think that's going to be the one thing. And just going back and looking at some of the comments from the offensive lineman, Dave, throughout the spring, one common theme that I thought was very fascinating, the offensive lineman said they're getting off the ball quicker now. The way that Chip has been teaching them and how they've been able to get up to the second level, sometimes the third level, I think that's going to be huge for this rushing attack. When the offensive linemen say, hey, we're faster coming off the ball. We're firing off the ball with a little bit more urgency. That's what Chip's going to bring to that room. I think it's going to also help Justin Fry. They've struggled with the short yardage games. But when you have Chip in there dialing it up from the booth saying, hey, I have 20 different variables. I have stretch plays that's going to work against this defense. I have rushing attacks that's going to work against this defense. Having that brain trust in the press box to be able to dissect what a defense is doing on the fly like that. Quick. Okay, during this, that's audible to this. And especially is going to help with the comms in the quarterback's helmet to that they're going to be able to go ahead and audible to something really quick at the line of scrimmage to make sure that those guys are in the correct rushing attack, the rushing game. Make sure that everybody's on the same page. So just, you know, starting out our conversation, that's going to be the big thing is the running game is going to be greatly enhanced.
Yeah, and, you know, anybody who has trepidation about the offensive line, raise your hand. The fact, and I was going to say this, Christopher on Facebook is pointing this out, Chip's scheme is easier for the O-line. I think it's going to help the O-line. Like, the O-line still has to play well. You can't just have a bad O-line. Well, we got Chip Kelly. We're going to be good. But I think the O-line is going to be improved this year just by, you know, they're a lot more experienced. But I think having Chip Kelly is going to help this O-line, Jay Book. What do you think?
Absolutely. You know, reading some of the offensive lineman comments, they said in practice, Chip is almost like an offensive line coach as well because he's right there directly behind them. They said they make a mistake, Chip blows the whistle, corrects those mistakes, but it goes deeper. You look at once those guys get into the actual meeting room, you know, Ryan Day was spending a lot of time with the running backs while they were searching for a new coach after Tony left. So Chip is in there leading those meetings. He's able to get up on that board, on the whiteboard, in the film room, break it down to Justin Fry and those guys and say, okay, why did you have these guys blocking this way over the last couple years? And based off that, he can go back and say, no, that's not how it's supposed to be ran. If the defense does this, you have to have this offensive lineman come off this block, get to the linebacker, you know, kind of give an elbow, give a shade, get up to the next level. So Chip is not only going to be right there behind those offensive linemen, giving them the proper instructions on what to do, but he's going to be able to coach the coaches to tell Justin Fry and the running backs coaches to say, hey, this is how it's supposed to be ran. This is my offense. This is how, you know, if we're getting this type of front from the defensive line or the linebackers, this is how we're going to be able to attack it. So having his brain trust there, Dave, to be able to coach the coaches, I think is going to be huge. Because one of the things that a lot of people are saying with Chip that you'd love to hear is things are being simplified. The game is slowing down, so guys are able to operate and move faster, especially the offensive line. But not only that, but the coaches. I think the coaching aspect of it, Dave, is going to be critical because you're starting to hear coaches say that he's breaking those walls down between the coaches and Ryan Day. Ryan Day can be pretty tough on those coaches. And having Chip in there being the mentor of Ryan, he can go to those coaches and say, when Ryan says this to you guys, this is what he means. And he can kind of simplify it and break it down. And the coach is like, oh, okay, I get it. I understand now. So Ryan may not be the most personable guy with the coaches, may not be able to hit home. But when you have Chip there as kind of the elder statesman to break those walls down, simplify it for the coaches, kind of be the voice of reason for Ryan in there, I think that helps build that relationship and continuity amongst the coaching staff.
And we're going to welcome back the quarterback run this year, which I love. You know, I mean, There's no doubt about it. And I don't think they need to major in it, but I think, you know, it definitely has to be a part of the offense, and it will be. We know Chip Kelly likes to run the quarterback. He talked about it after the spring game. You know, it wasn't a long press conference, but he gave a pretty long answer to that. He, you know, said, you got to have that in your offense. You got to be able to keep the defense honest. All the stuff that we've been saying that was a little frustrating. Now, Ryan Day's, you know, hell of a good play caller, has done a great job with this offense. But one of the things I was frustrated with, I didn't need a lot of called quarterback runs. But, man, if 10 yards is there, you can run and slide, get out of harm's way, get out of bounds, take those 3 yards. They're going to be doing that now. Plus, there's going to be a decent amount of called quarterback runs. That's another thing I think is really going to help this offense. And another reason I'm hoping all the quarterbacks stick around because I think they're going to need more than one.
Yeah, the whole Will Howard, I'm coming here to, you know, not run so much. Throw that out the window, Dave, because he's going to get his fair share of run. At the coaching convention, they were using cut-ups of Will Howard in practice on how to precisely run some of the drills, some of the things that Chip Kelly was wanting to display to the coaches to say, hey, this is how your quarterback's supposed to pivot. This is how the quarterback's supposed to move whenever you're utilizing him in the run game. So they're definitely going to do that because make no mistake about it, Dave, and it goes back to Urban Meyer, goes back to basic football, X's and O's, accounting for the quarterback's run. It's going to put the defense in a situation to where those guys or those linebackers, they're going to have to spy. They're going to have to stay home. It limits them from being how aggressive they want to be. But the problem that you run into is a lot of teams that have a running quarterback, Dave, they may have a prolific rushing attack, but you don't see a lot of teams with the wide receiver firepower that you'll see with Ohio State on the outside. Because if you start cheating up, if you're the defense to say, hey, they're so good at running the football, we're going to have to bring another man down into the box. We're going to have to, you know, put the linebacker heels at 6 yards, 7 yards, and have them playing, you know, with their hair on fire, just shooting the gaps coming downhill. That's all fine and dandy. But if you can block it, that's going to leave a lot of one-on-one activity on the outside. A lot of teams don't have the wide receiver power that Ohio State has. So it could potentially have some huge plays. You know, one tackle, Dave, a Jeremiah Smith, you know, 8 yard slant, one tackle broken. Bye bye. to the house. Trumpets are up because the band's playing a fight song by the time he crosses the 50 yard line. You know, that's the type of situation that you could be running into if you start having defenses starting to cheap up to account for the running game. So I'm excited about it, but it also allows Ryan Day to be the CEO and allow him to kind of oversee everything that's going on within the program, which is something that we've talked about it. We think it's truly been lacking. I think it's been keeping him from taking that next step as a head coach. You know, go get involved with the special teams. Go sit in with Larry Johnson. If Jim Knowles is saying, hey, I want to be a little bit more exotic on the defense, let's go sit in on Larry Johnson's room to see how the reception is to potentially taking one of his guys off the field, putting a C.J. Hicks on the edge or Arvell Reese on the edge, just to have a kind of a mix-up. Let's go sit in there in those defensive meeting rooms and see how those guys are handling certain situations. When Ryan's the offensive coordinator, the quarterback coach, and he's bogged down in the game planning, and that's one of the things he talked about with us, Dave, is how much he had to prepare to be a prolific play caller, how much game planning went into that, how much time he had to spend in the offensive meeting room. Now that Chip is there, he can go and make sure everything's on the up and up with Jim Knowles, make sure everything's on the up and up with Keenan Bailey in his room and James Laurinaitis, who's a first-time linebacker coach. So I think having Chip, we're going to look back, Dave, and I truly believe this, the leaving of Bill O'Brien, we're going to look back and say that's probably one of the biggest blessings to this football program. You know, as they said, you want to wish Bill the best, but him leaving to go to Boston College and Chip coming in here, I think that is going to be the recipe that really stirs the pot for this football team as far as the chemistry amongst the coaching staff, the chemistry amongst the rushing attack and the offense alignment. Once they start talking about the O-lines getting off the ball faster, Dave, I'm just like, that's music to my ears, man.
Thank goodness the Seattle Seahawks did not hire Chip Kelly as offensive coordinator. He would not he interviewed for that job, and because he didn't get that job, and then Bill O'Brien. At first, we were like, Jeff Hafley screwing us over again. Turns out this time Jeff Hafley helped us, because I'm with you, man. Bill O'Brien, he might have been fine here, but I think Chip Kelly is clearly an upgrade over Bill O'Brien.
Right.
And again, for those that are wondering, it wasn't as simple as, well, why was Chip Kelly plan B? It wasn't like that. At the time, Chip Kelly was at UCLA, and he was thinking he was going to leave to be an offensive coordinator at the NFL level. When that fell through, the timing just worked out perfectly. I think most people – I know you know that. For anybody out there listening or watching the show that didn't know that, Chip Kelly was not plan B. It just – he wasn't really an option when Bill O'Brien became available. And then when Bill O'Brien went to Boston College, bam, Chip Kelly was available.
All right, I was just going to say this. But if you go into this season, Dave, and you are nasty up front and you're rushing the attack, is physical. You're getting a hat on a hat. Guys are getting to the second level. They're combo blocking. Those running backs, shoulder pads, they're going north and south instead of east and west, and you're aggressive at the point of attack. That sets the tone for the rest of the season. That sets the tone for everybody else on the team to say, hey, we got some dogs up front. We got some boys that's going to be throwing people out the club. We're going to get physical, and there's nothing you're going to be able to do about it. And, oh, by the way, we have a top five defense that's going to give us a short field. We have a top five defense, which is going to create turnovers. That right there is a recipe for a national championship type of program, Dave. But if they can get back to establishing the line of scrimmage, that's step one. It's much needed. It's going to be required out of Justin Fry's group because everything starts up front.
I'm going to get your take on this. I responded to one of our live audience members, JW, on YouTube. He said, anyone know who's going to start at right guard this year replacing Matthew Jones? And I said, probably Hensman. Get into that. Do you think it's going to be Hensman? And if not, who do you think it's going to be?
I think it's either going to be Hensman or Montgomery. I know Montgomery started out at the spring and towards the end of it, Carson Hensman started the spring game at the right guard. I think that's going to be an ongoing battle. But hey, Carson Hensman, if they're showing that type of confidence in him and he goes into the fall feeling like, hey, I got a shot to start here, especially with the amount of game reps that he has had, because keep in mind, guard's his natural position. He was a four-star guard coming in to Ohio State, and they thought that he, you know, may be able to be a better fit at the center position. But right now, if I'm to pick, I think it's either going to be Hensman starting at one, and I think it's going to be Montgomery right behind him as they start the fall camp. And I think those guys are going to battle it out. I know that, Tegger's been getting some looks there. What do you think Tegger's a guard, Dave? Because at start of spring, they were like, Coach Dave was saying Tegger is primarily only a tackle now. And then as we get towards the end of the spring, they're giving Tegger reps at the guard. Like, what do you think Tegger's a tackle or a guard? Because he looks like a tackle, though.
I'm with you. He looks like straight out of central casting for a right tackle to me. And I think that they feel that he is best suited at right tackle, but I think they want to keep their options open. I think he did take overall in spring, not the spring game. Spring game, he took most of his reps, obviously, at guard. Overall, during spring, he took most of his reps at right tackle, but I think they're trying to get that versatility just in case. But I'm with you, man. I think he's a right tackle. And if he can figure it out, he's just got that build at 6'6", 330. He moves well. I have high expectations for him. And he got on the field a decent amount last year. He played in every game. At least he was on like the, you know, field goal protection unit and all that. So I think at the very least he's going to be, don't you think, maybe the sixth man? He'll be that guy that comes in there and those bison sets, jumbo sets.
Yeah, I think he's going to be right there. I think he's the third tackle. And it's critical to make sure they're taking care of Tegra and he's happy. There's not a lot of depth at the tackle position when you look at it, Dave. Like not a lot of high-end talent at the tackle position that's waiting in the wings. They're really going to have to develop those younger guys that's coming up. But I definitely think Tegra probably has the potential to be a really good right tackle. He just needs his opportunity. He needs to play. The more that he can play, the better he's going to get. You can't supplement experience. Once you start getting there with the live bullets flying around, that's when you really start to see the progression pick up.
J-Book and I are going to finish the show talking NFL draft. J-Book is just racking up the Arizona Buckeyes now. Paris Johnson, now he's getting Marvin Harrison down there. They're going to be having pregame parties at J-Book's house. It's going to be great. The postgame parties are going to be off the chain. So we're going to get to that in just a minute. But before we do that, I got to tell you guys about Gooder sunglasses. I love Gooder sunglasses. These are Operation Blackout. Why do I love Gooder sunglasses? Well, they're 100% polarized. They're only $25. They're so affordable, I never have to worry about losing them or breaking them. They look great, obviously. They're always releasing new colors and designs, so you can lay low or get wild. I love the names. Again, Operation Blackout. You have Back Nine Blackout. Flamingos on a Booze Cruise. That's J-Book's favorite. Flamingos on a Booze Cruise. You got Donkey Goggles. Hellwagon likes the Donkey Goggles. If you want to support the show and try a pair, Gooder is giving Bucknuts 45 listeners free shipping. You can go to gooder.com/bucknuts. Use code Bucknuts for free shipping. Gooder offers a 30-day money-back guarantee and 100% satisfaction. Again, that's gooder.com/bucknuts and use code bucknuts for free shipping. Bam. All right. Gooder. I love it. Get your guys. Get some Gooder sunglasses. Get more than one. Get that free shipping. I'd get about five of them if I were you guys. I got such a good selection. All right. NFL draft. I was so happy to see Marvin go to the Cardinals. That's awesome. And just makes sense. All of this stupid stuff, the silly season. It's like these guys have too much time on their hands after the season. Everybody and their mother agreed after the season, Marvin was the best wide receiver. And then as we get close, maybe it's Malik Nabers. And look, Malik Nabers is really good. I get that. But I'm very happy to see Marvin was the first non-quarterback taken. Number four overall pick. The Buckeyes add to their all-time lead of first-round picks. Great to see Marvin end up in your neck of the woods, my friend.
Yeah, they, you know, just listening to the sports talk radio out here driving around, everybody was consensus Marvin Harrison Jr. I know the national media was trying to, you know, play the Neighbors thing and all of that stuff, but locally, everyone was like, Marvin's our guy. They desperately need wide receivers. Here, I will say this, Dave, for you fantasy guys that are out there, especially dynasty mode, Marvin's stepping in as wide receiver one right now in this Cardinals offense with Kyler Murray. They have so much money invested in Kyler Murray, Dave, that they need him to work out. Bringing Marvin in, I think, is definitely going to help those guys. They have a pretty good tight end over there in Arizona. But, yeah, it's great to see the Buckeyes out there. The only problem is Marvin needs to sign this little NFLPA type of merchandising deal so that his jerseys can go on sale. You have so many Ohio fans, Ohio State fans out here in the Valley, and I'm sure they're probably going to want a Marvin Harrison Jr. jersey, but you can't get it until he actually signs his little deal or whatnot. But, yeah, it's great. The Cardinals, you know, the new GM, they've been kind of maneuvering, you know, really well. Last year, you know, they traded back up to get Paris. And, you know, these are foundational type of picks. Once you have a Paris Johnson Jr. and Marvin Harrison Jr. on your roster, those are foundation pieces that's going to be there for the next, you know, 8 to 10 years. I would not be surprised if those guys get signed to lucrative second contracts out here in Arizona. I don't know where they're staying at, probably over in Paradise Valley somewhere in the multi-million-dollar estates type of deal. But it's great to have them out here. What do you think about your Bengals, man?
Was that not the most Bengals pick ever? Like, I don't like it. Like, Amarius Mims, I mean, he's a man-child. There's no doubt. But eight starts his entire – and then as soon as I was warming up to it, I'm like, all right. I mean, you can't teach 6'8", 370. He moves well. He just crushes people. Nick Saban then comes out there and just says, well, here's the thing about Mims. He pulled himself out of the SEC title game after 15 plays. What does that say about the young man? I'm like, oh, crap. So you got the greatest of all time just completely – urinating on the pick. I'm like, yeah, Nick Saban probably knows what he's talking about. I wasn't a fan of that. You have no dog in the fight. What did you think of that Mims pick at number 18?
I mean, but what's one of the biggest knocks with the Bengals is protecting Joe Burrow in the offensive line. You know, they picked up some guys. They got some veterans over there at the tackle. I mean, what are you guys clearing about 6'8" across the board when it comes to your tackles? But, you know, if you could get him in there, you know, I you can never have enough good quality offensive linemen. At this point, you got to protect Joe. You know, in that division, Dave, everything starts up front. You got to be stout at the line of scrimmage, especially when, you know, you're going against the Browns and the Steelers with those pass rushing specialists that those programs have. You're going to have to be able to be solid at the tackle position. It's not sexy, Dave, but I kind of understand it considering that offensive line protection has been an issue. But my Raiders, Bowers, man.
Good pick.
Yeah.
I wanted an offensive lineman for the Bengals. I just was hoping one of the other guys would slide, the kid from Oregon State, Fuagua. Mm-hmm. I figured he wouldn't. And then I was – once they were there, I was hoping for Fatanu. If they didn't get the corner from Toledo, Mitchell, I was hoping for Fatanu. But I get it. Fatanu's kind of a – he can play all – they don't know what he is, though. Is he a tackle? Is he a guard? Could he play center? Mims, there's no doubt. That dude's a right tackle. Boom. It's like we were saying with Tegra, but bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. We're out here bringing out the old Patriots with the dual tight ends when they had, you know, with Gronk and Hernandez when we got Mayer, the tight end from Notre Dame, who was pretty solid last year. And then you pair him with Bowers. So I'd be curious to see how they're going to operate that. But we still need a quarterback. I mean, Michael Hall, Dave, K That's a pick for the Bengals. If the Bengals get Michael Hall today, how would that make you feel?
I'd be happy with that. Somebody's going to get a good second-round pick in Mike Hall. I would like that for the Bengals for sure. They also need to get a bigger guy, a big – too bad Sweat had that – the kid from Texas had the some trouble leading up to the draft. I thought that would have been a good pick for the Bengals. But, I think Mike Hall is going to be a really good pick tonight for somebody in the second round. I would love to see him go to Cincinnati. And hopefully Cade Stover gets taken in the third round, although some people are saying he might slip to the fourth. Real quick, let's get you out of here on this. JW on YouTube wants to know, do you think we'll see Jeremiah Smith starting as a true freshman this year? Jacob, what do you think?
I think he's going to start, Dave. Yes. I know Ohio State sometimes plays the seniority thing, but when you have a talent like Jeremiah Smith, when everybody on the defense, including Denzel Burke, everybody, they're just saying, he's just different, man. he's just a different dude. Like, embrace that, man. Embrace the God-given talent that Jeremiah Smith has. Get him on the field. Accelerate his learning. And look out. I mean, if he takes off, Dave, what are you talking about? Like a guy who could potentially, knock on the door for, what do you think, 1,000 yards, Dave, if he starts week one as a freshman? I mean, 17 games. You think Jeremiah Smith could knock on the door for 1,000?
For sure. And I get there's one ball and this offense has a lot of guys. They're going to run the ball more. They have two standout running backs. They're going to run the quarterback more. Emeka Egbuka is going to get his. Carnell Tate's going to get his. So I get all that. But yeah, with a longer season, I mean, even if they play 15 games, let's say, hopefully they play 16, right? Hopefully they get the bye and they play 16 games and they're 16-0. But they play 15 games, unless he gets hurt, I can't imagine him not getting 1,000. I'd probably put the over-under, if he stays healthy, maybe at like 1,100 or something like that. I think he will get 1,000. Yeah, I think he will. It won't be easy, though. Because, again, only one ball to go around with all this talent.
Right. But before we get off here, I got one for you. Yeah. Will Emeka Egbuka break the Ohio State receiving record? Because he's knocking on the door. Was it like 1,400 somewhere?
That's going to be tough. I mean, I think he can get there. But,
Yeah,
you have to share the wealth a little bit. And if you believe what they say, and I think they're going to have more blowouts than they have recently. I mean, look at the schedule early in the season. Those first three games, they better be blowouts. I don't want to see Emeka in there in the fourth quarter against Akron, against Western Kentucky, against Marshall. So, or not Western Kentucky, I always do it, Western Michigan. I don't know if he's going to get 1,400. I hope he does. I love that.
I think they're going to try to get him there, Dave.
Like they did with Marv last year. They were definitely like feeding Marv the ball to try and get him the Biletnikoff. But I don't know. Now you got J.J. Smith there. You got Carnell Tate. You got the running back. I don't know. It's going to be tough. But Emeka Egbuka, this wide receiver room is so talented. But also having that leader, that senior. Yeah. And as you know, I mean, he is like one of the absolute leaders of this team. If Emeka Egbuka wasn't great at football and wasn't embarking on a long NFL career here starting next year, this dude would be a CEO leaving. Maybe not right away. Maybe not as soon as he graduates. That's the type of kid we're talking about. So I love that he's there leading that room, and they have all this talent. It's crazy.
Hey, what do you think about your boy JJ going to the Vikings?
I don't know. I mean,
and Penix, Michael Penix to Atlanta. GM's going to get fired, man.
There's always like a showstopper at the NFL draft where the music just stops. It's like that was it. Like. They're taking when I thought I heard Penix was might go to your Raiders at 13. I'm like, all right, well, okay, a little early, but eight, and you just signed Kirk Cousins to like a $200 million contract, only $100 million guaranteed though.
And the GM says something along the lines like Michael Penix would be ready in 4 to 5 years. I'm like, that's a wasted pick, man. Like four to five years. Like what is he going to start at 30 years old? I mean, Michael Penix is already old, man. He's he passed 6 years in college or something those lines. So if he's going to sit out for 4 years, like you're going to have a 30-year-old first-year starting quarterback, man, that's a wasted pick. I mean, I guess if Kirk Cousins, is not all the way right coming from that Achilles injury and he gets hurt, then you'll have a really talented guy. But I feel like, Atlanta, man, they had so many more holes than going to go get Michael Penix at number eight. I mean, at that point, if you really wanted him, trade back up and try to get him there. But my goodness.
It was like a couple years ago, 3 years ago, when the Bengals got Chase, and then a couple picks later, the Lions got Sewell. The number four pick that year was Kyle Pitts. You know, good player, talented. I remember thinking, you got two choices if you're the Falcons. You either take Chase or Sewell. They didn't take either one. They took Pitts. This is why they're the Atlanta Falcons, is doing stupid stuff like this.
Right.
They do it time and time again. All right, great stuff out of Jonah Booker. Get ready for that hosting party for Marvin Harrison Jr., welcoming him to the Valley of the Sun. Great stuff as always from Jay Book. Really appreciate it, my friend. Thanks to all of the viewers and listeners. We appreciate you guys very much. Hope everyone has a great day and a great weekend.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo. Thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2. Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Go to Paramount+ to try it free. Terms apply.